This is Andy Shore from Washington, D.C. with the Pulmonary and Critical Care Literature Update. I'd like to point out an article in the October 27, 2016 issue of the New England Journal of Medicine by the Long-Term Oxygen Treatment Trials Research Group. We as pulmonologists prescribe oxygen to our patients with hypoxemia at rest and potentially exertional desaturation below sats of 88. That's based on clinical trials done some time ago. They certainly have limitations, but this standard seems to have held up to the challenge of time. And in fact, that's why that's the threshold that Medicare uses to reimburse for supplemental oxygen. The question then necessarily arises, would a different standard be appropriate? So if we're going to call less than 88% at rest severe desaturation, what about patients who had more moderate desaturations? So perhaps patients who had desaturations in the 89 to 92% range, or sats at rest of that level, or patients who had exertional desaturations down to that level during, say, a six-minute walk test. And that was what this trial tried to assess. For this study of patients with advanced COPD meeting those hypoxemia criteria, but of course not meeting the standard for needing supplemental oxygen based on the currently accepted criteria, they were randomized to either supplemental oxygen or placebo, or rather, no therapy. Because of course, this can't be a blinded trial because it would have been too cumbersome. The study enrolled about 740 patients who had rather advanced COPD, and the primary endpoint for this trial was a composite of either death or time to first hospitalization. These patients had substantially impaired quality of life, as you can imagine, and also tended to be somewhat older than you would expect in a general COPD population because they had already progressed to having some kind of hypoxemia, just not severe hypoxemia. Initially, the trial was designed just to look at the patients with resting hypoxemia in that moderate range. Because there were huge issues and delays with enrollment, they readjusted the study design to expand the enrollment criteria to include just those patients with moderate hypoxemia at rest or those with the moderate desaturation with a six-minute walk test. And the specific criteria they used to identify those people and to bound the amount of desaturation and the time of desaturation with the six-minute walk test are illustrated in the manuscript. Among the 740 patients who came from multiple centers across the U.S., at the end, these investigators saw no difference in any of their endpoints. Whether it was time to first hospitalization or death as a composite, no difference. When each of those two aspects of the composite endpoint were evaluated, no difference. When they looked at secondary endpoints, not particularly any difference. The only subgroups where they saw significant differences, and again, these are subgroups, so very cautious interpretation here, were older patients, so patients, say, who were over 71, patients who had much worse quality of life than the rest of the cohort, and other groups of patients that were unique in different ways. But again, these are post hoc subgroup analyses that really don't provide much insight and are only really hypothesis generating for the future. The whole point is this really demonstrates quite conclusively that adding supplemental oxygen, even if it, quote, makes the patient feel better, beyond the criteria we have strictly adhered to for so many years, really improves no outcome that's meaningful either to the healthcare system or to the patient. And so again, it's nice that it's good confirmatory data from a well-done trial that says we don't need to be expanding access to the use of supplemental oxygen at this point. As I noted in the October 27th, 2016 issue of the New England Journal of Medicine, crucial study about the use of supplemental oxygen in our patients with advanced COPD. This is Andy Shore from Washington, D.C.